And I'm going to welcome us to University Mennonite Church. Good morning again and happy Thanksgiving. I hope you've had a meaningful time despite the circumstances. We're together again, and believe it or not, we have arrived at Advent season. I'm excited to have my friend and former colleague Bob Yoder here to bring the sermon this morning. Bob is an advancement associate at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary in Elkhart. And for many years, he served as the campus pastor at Goshen College, and I knew him in that context. He had actually visited our church a few years ago while I hosted our annual Mennonite campus pastor gathering here in State College. But he's also familiar with many aspects of life in Pennsylvania, having grown up in Myersdale, Pennsylvania, and southwestern Pennsylvania. He's served also at Laurelville Mennonite Church Center, and so he has some familiarity here with our region and with Allegheny Conference and with life as a Mennonite here in Pennsylvania. Thanks for being with us, Bob, and we look forward to hearing more from you later in our service when you bring our sermon message. I want to say thanks again for sending in your pictures and your videos, especially those little glimpses into your Thanksgiving week. We want to say thank you to Marvin Hall for being our video sharing person this morning. And whenever you're ready, Marvin, please go ahead and share our prelude video. Well, thank you for once again sharing your pictures and videos as we begin this worship time, especially during this holiday season. Advent has arrived. Can you believe it? I can almost hear the sleigh bells in the distance. Me neither. This is a strange Advent season. Amid strange weather patterns this year, amid a global pandemic, amid intense political divide, Christmas still really feels so very far away. And yet we begin this Advent season, just as we've done every year as a congregation. If you saw Pastor Kate's email this week, you'll know that our worship committee has decided to use a resource from an organization called Sanctified Art to help us navigate this Advent season. This is going to take the shape of a daily email devotional, if you choose to join in that way, as well as some structure for our worship season. The theme is Those Who Dream, and we're excited to share with you some of the beautiful things that they have created for us to use, from the devotionals to sacred artwork, liturgies and readings, and even a few other surprises along the way. Amid global unrest, amidst uncertain times, amid political powers, amid our ongoing longing for light, we arrive at this season of Advent. Perhaps 2020 is an appropriate setting for us to navigate the Advent season. I hope we can pause together to take a breath as we begin to journey towards Christmas. Friends, we are on the cusp of this journey, amid all the uncertainty of this year, setting forth again to remember and be inspired by the birth of our Savior. We, as followers of Jesus, begin this moment together with the reminder that we are continually inspired by our faith to dream and to imagine a world that is shaped by God's peace. As a way of beginning our worship service, I invite you to join me in a reading for our call to worship. The power of dreams lies in waking up, for when we close our eyes, we can see a better world. We can dream a better dream. When we open our eyes, we begin the work of faith. The power of worship is the same. When we enter this space, we can see a better world. We can dream a better dream. But when we leave this space, we begin the work of faith. So, come in. Dream your dream. Find hope here. For in an hour, we will begin the work of faith. Let it be so. One of the symbols of the Advent season is the lighting of the Advent candles. I'd like to introduce Anders and Eva as we light our first Advent candle this season, the Candle of Hope.
I dream of healthy hemlock forests.
I dream of birthday parties with all my friends.
I dream of the days where we could be part of a crowd.
I dream of snow days.
I dream of empty beds and jail cells.
I dream of a world that will let kids be kids.
I dream of full tables instead of empty bellies.
I dream of schools with enough money to teach.
I dream of parents with enough money to feed.
I dream to keep awake because if we don't dream of better days, then we might forget that this is not what God imagined.
So today we light the candle of hope, for hope is the very thing that keeps dreams afloat.
Mm-hmm. May this light be an invitation to keep awake.
May this light be our invitation to be Advent people, people who dream. Amen.
We want to thank you for your generosity during this season. As we have experienced this worship from a distance, we want to remind you to continue to give as you are able. And I would like to bring us an offering prayer here this morning as we begin our time together. Please pray with me. Creator God, as we enter into this Advent season, give us your spirit so that we might dream. Grant us your wisdom and a spirit of generosity so that we might offer what we have to those who are in need. May our lives and our words be an offering to you as we look forward to our coming Messiah. And may we strive to seek you, even when our dreams fall short. May our gifts be a blessing as you move in our midst. Amen.
Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7 and 17 through 19. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Hello, everyone. I am doing children's time today, and we are talking about dreaming and being part of God's dreams for the world and our lives. So as you know, one of the ways that we dream is at night, where we might be doing silly or crazy things. But another way to dream is to have big, wonderful ideas about the future. For example, what it'll be like when we can talk and hug each other again at church, or what it would be like if everyone had enough to eat. So in the video that you're going to hear in a few seconds, you'll hear about a famous actress, Audrey Hepburn, and how she put her dreams into action by helping people. Then we'll hear right after that in a video from kids from our church and a friend of Lily's about who they think needs help in our community and ways that we could help them.
Little Audrey lived in a town called Arnhem in the Netherlands. She dreamed of what she would be when she grew up. Would she become a ballerina or maybe an actress? But one day, on her way to ballet class, Audrey saw soldiers on the streets. War had broken out. She watched many families being sent away from their homes, including children just like her. It was a hard time for Audrey and all the other children. There was very little food and they were often hungry. Audrey became very ill. At last, the fighting ended, and Audrey moved to London to study dance. Her teacher said she was too weak from the war to become a ballerina, but Audrey didn't give up. She decided to act and dance in musicals instead. Before long, she was making her first Hollywood film, driving around Rome with the famous actor Gregory Peck. Every role she played was different from the one before. One day she was a nun, and the next a princess. She had a simple rule for life: dance as though no one is watching, sing as though no one can hear you, and live as though heaven is on earth. She also liked to spend time alone in her apartment. Every day at breakfast, she read letters from her fans. She was loved by millions of people around the world. Audrey won award after award, but she worried that she didn't deserve them. While she was at Hollywood star, who seemed to have everything, she never forgot that there were children in the world who were hungry just like she had been. One day, a charity offered her a new role. They asked her to become their official ambassador and visit children all over the world. So Audrey traveled to India and to Africa, and wherever she went, Audrey tried to make every child happy. She helped raise money to provide children with water, food, and medicine. Audrey spent the rest of her life helping people across the globe, and that made her happier than acting or dancing ever had.
Who do you notice needs help in our community or in the world?
Maybe people who are lonely or people who have lost their jobs in the virus.
In our community, I think that people who don't have houses need help because they are going to be cold during winter, especially with it coming up.
People who don't have homes or as much food to eat or money.
Especially right now, people who are high risk or elderly who can't go outside and be safe without getting COVID.
And what could we do to help them?
Do whatever we can, help them out, deliver groceries, just be positive and help whenever you can.
Well, if they're lonely, we could go over and say hi and talk to them. And give them cards.
We at church help every year by doing my coins count, and that's one way we help.
Or if they don't have enough money to get any food or anything, since they lost their job, we could make something for them. So, or we could go out and go to a grocery store for them.
I think we could donate to charities to help them. And if we're walking down on the street and we have an extra bottle of water, maybe give it to them.
Thank you. Okay, I'll just say a few more things to wrap this up. So in Mark, Jesus told people that the fig tree teaches us a lesson. When its branches become green and soft and new leaves begin to grow, then you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things happening, then you will know that the time is near, ready to come. So Jesus was telling his disciples to pay attention to signs that heaven on earth was coming soon. And when we look around and pay attention, we notice things. We might notice other people who need help or signs of hope that things will get better. So pay attention this week to where the world needs some hope and where there is already hope. And I'll finish in prayer. Dear God, please help us pay attention to the needs of others. Help us to live as though heaven is on earth and bring hope to everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
I want to say thank you again to all who've participated this morning, and thank you so much to Bob for being our speaker. Bob, may God's peace go with you as I bring our message this morning.
Thank you. It is good to be with you folks. It's always good to be with Pennsylvanians, even if I'm living in Goshen, Indiana, but I spent first half of my life in Somerset County. So I bring you greetings from Goshen, Indiana, from College Mennonite Church, where I am a member, and also from Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, where my ministry of 25 plus years now continues on at AMBS in this way. Sometimes I imagine, sometimes our imaginations can get the best of us. Growing up on a small dairy farm in southwestern Pennsylvania, I had a lot of time to imagine and dream. Though I was the youngest of eight children, my brother and I were 5 years apart, and so I spent a lot of time playing by myself, imagining and dreaming. But sometimes my imagination got the best of me. I was around 5 years of age at home alone with my mother. My siblings were off at school, and my dad was in town. One of my mother's tasks on our farm was to clean the big stainless steel milk tank in the barn after the milk truck came and took our milk away. She would often leave me inside the house to play while she went out to the barn to clean the tank. One such time, I thought she was gone a little too long. It seemed like forever. I'm sure it was only minutes ticking away, but it seemed like hours in my mind. And then I started to get worried. And then I got scared. I remembered watching a film at church about the end times. And so naturally, I imagined the rapture occurred, leaving me behind. I crawled under the table to hide myself from any bad people who might come and take me away. My imagination got the best of me. Now, I'm sure my little church was trying to be faithful, as were my parents. But as a five-year-old kid, that movie scarred my imagination with fear. For many years after that, the book of Revelation, filled with its imaginative depictions, was a scary place to venture. It wasn't until almost two decades later, when I was a young pastor in Somerset, Pennsylvania at New Life Mennonite Church, that I attended a special teaching on the book of Revelation that changed my view. This instructor explained more about the role and purpose of apocalyptic prophecy and its use in Revelation. The biblical authors had used their imagination to convey a message to their audience, but it was not intended to be a message of fear. It was a message of hope and encouragement in the midst of the life realities those people faced, young and old. The book of Revelation became for me like a fifth gospel. Revelation was no longer a place of fear. I no longer hid under that dining room table. Sometimes our imaginations get the best of us. But as a community of faith, I believe that we have a responsibility to help nurture our imaginations, young and old, in ways that engage life's realities with the gospel understanding of Jesus. A few months ago, I was invited to preach a sermon with you during Advent. I was given the choice of two different Sundays. I chose this particular Sunday because I love the book of Mark. It is a fast-paced, dramatic view of Jesus's life. The narrator seems to always be in a hurry to get on to the next point, writing concisely and to the point. It is the shortest of the Gospels. But another reason I chose this passage is because Mark 13 has stifled me. So I wanted to take this opportunity to dig a little deeper. It doesn't seem to fit with the other chapters in Mark. It slows down the narration and uses language similar to what is found in the book of Revelation. In fact, this chapter is often referred to by some as the little apocalypse. As many of you probably know, the Greek word apocalypse means revelation or the revealing in English. So the book of Revelation is the book of the apocalypse, the book of the revealing. A key event in the life and times of the city of Jerusalem occurred in the year 70 AD. The Roman army destroyed and leveled the city, including the Jewish temple. There is some debate among scholars as to when the Gospel of Mark was written down from its oral tradition. Some think around 55 AD, and some soon after the destruction of Jerusalem, whenever it was. The imagination of the gospel writer is alive and well in chapter 13 as he describes a conversation between Jesus and several of his disciples. In response to Jesus telling all of his disciples in verse 2 of this chapter that the temple and buildings will be leveled, Peter, James, John, and Andrew then privately ask Jesus, "When will this be?" The next several verses, 9 through 13, Jesus talks about persecution that will happen. Then the next set of verses describes a desolating sacrilege, some kind of event that signals the end is near. Later, people believed this was referring to when the Roman emperor attempted to place a statue of himself inside the temple, or when the Roman army emblems were placed inside the temple a few years before the destruction of the temple. And then we get to the last part of chapter 13 that was read today. Jesus sparks the imagination of these four disciples and says, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." Jesus seems to draw this imaginative telling from the book of Daniel, which also describes a person like a Son of Man coming with the clouds, or perhaps some other literature that was common in that time. And then Jesus incites their imagination with an everyday practical event from the fig tree. When the leaves blossom, you know that the summer is near. And then near the end of the chapter, Jesus finally answers in verse 32 the question that Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked in verse 3 of, "When will this be?" And here I'm going to take a little bit of liberty, given all that is inferred in this entire chapter. Though those four disciples initially wanted to know when will the temple be destroyed, I believe the disciples also wanted to know when will the big end of the world occur. That was also very common in that time. And to that question, Jesus says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come." We don't know when the big end will happen. Trying to predict it is pointless. However, it doesn't mean there won't be little ends in the meantime. The Jewish temple did come to an end, but the world kept going. A desolating sacrilege event probably did happen, but the world kept going. People did experience persecution, but the world kept going. Throughout the book of Mark, the gospel writer spurs on the imagination of his audience, his hearers, to live faithful lives, even in the midst of some sort of persecution or challenges they were facing. And so Mark encouraged them on in their faith. Hold on, do your part. Jesus is the Messiah. The author of Mark describes what faithful discipleship of Jesus looks like again and again with his many little stories and parables. In the concluding verses of chapter 13, the audience is told to keep alert, keep awake, while they live and engage life's realities. There is no doubt that the temple's destruction was a significant disruption to how people lived life and carried out their faith. Judaism changed forever. No longer was their faith oriented around the temple. It had to change and adapt. What we now think of as Christianity also changed as it grew further and further apart from Judaism, as it too changed and developed. For many of us, disruptions regularly occur in life. Sometimes they are little and are really more like inconveniences or annoyances. But other times they can be quite big and significantly impact us. When people are ridiculed or persecuted for their beliefs or for who they simply are, disruptions occur. When unanticipated tragedies happen, disruptions occur. When a pastor colleague of mine at the age of 62 dies of cancer a few days ago, disruptions occur. And when almost a year ago, when the COVID-19 virus began to spread among humans, disruptions occur. And in Mark 13, when the four disciples asked Jesus when the big end would happen, knowing that life would continue to be full of challenges and disruptions up until that moment, Jesus said, "No one knows. So keep alert, keep awake." The Gospel of Mark calls its hearers to continue to be faithful disciples, faithful followers of Jesus. What does it mean to be faithful followers of Jesus these days? How is our faith to be nurtured when, for many of us, coming together as a church body inside a sanctuary has been disrupted? Back in March, I remember how strange it was to participate in my congregation's worship service by watching it on my computer and then our TV. My wife, who is a pastor at our church, would still go off to church on Sunday mornings as live services were being conducted with a handful of physically distant people. What a disruption to how our church practiced worship, as I'm sure you can relate. However, we as a church were still called to be the church and carry on. Though worship services in the way that we knew it ceased to exist, we as faithful followers of Jesus were not called to cease to exist. Back in December and January, before the pandemic, I had decided to read a book that had been on my to-be-read shelf for 20 years. It was about the history of the Mennonite Church in Ethiopia. If you aren't familiar with this church, it had its roots in the 1930s and 40s with missionaries from the United States, primarily from Lancaster Mennonite Conference. They set up schools and hospitals and eventually churches. As the decades ticked on, the American leaders transferred leadership over to the Ethiopians. And then came the 1980s, when a new communist government forced most of the Christian churches to close down. They stole the property and sold off the buildings. But toward the end of that decade, about 10 years later, a new government allowed churches to resume again. And for the Mesorete Christos Church in Ethiopia, the Anabaptist Mennonite Church there, their membership grew from approximately 5,000 at the start of the closure to about 50,000 when the church doors opened up again. Today, there are close to 400,000 people in this church. The story of the Mennonite Church in Ethiopia captured my imagination, especially given the disruptions of COVID-19. I also remember back in May when one of our pastors, not my wife, also captured my imagination. By this point in the global pandemic, our congregation had opened up a food pantry and had been raising money to help people in our community with their daily needs, including food, rent, computers, internet, etc. Many of these households were from our Latinx, our Hispanic community here in Goshen, and were friends, family, and neighbors of people from our congregation, especially among our Hispanic members. We had helped nearly 70 households at that point and continued to develop relationships among them and with them. But what captured my imagination in that particular worship service is when our pastor asked us to start to imagine what our Sunday mornings will be like when we regather. Will we have enough Sunday school teachers to accommodate the potential of dozens and dozens of new children? Will we have enough people to speak Spanish to adequately communicate? Will we allow our worship services to adapt to different and new expressions of faith and worship? Back then, I for sure thought that we would have regathered by now, and I could tell you how it is. But that's not the case yet. But as followers of Jesus, we are to continue to keep alert and keep awake to the realities around us. What are the realities around you that are crying out and awakening your imagination? The children this morning, some of them did a great job. Well, all the children did a great job. The children this morning did a great job of explaining and telling some of the realities around you there in the Happy Valley. And you know the realities around you from your friends, your family, your colleagues, your coworkers. Similarly, whose imaginations are revealing themselves in ways that we need to pay attention? I am no poet or visual artist, but I have recognized that those folks often have an imagination that captures a perspective on reality that I can so easily overlook. Their prophetic words and illustrations can challenge us to faithful living. Who among you are the imaginers, the dreamers, the artists? Who in your neighborhoods and communities are demanding that we wake up? As a faith community, I believe we have a responsibility to help nurture our imaginations, young and old, in ways that call us to engage life's realities with the gospel of Jesus. Sometimes our imaginations can get the best of us, and that, my friends, can be a good and faithful response. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hello, brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ. Thank you, Bob, for a very thought-provoking beginning to Advent. Lots of questions, and I'm a person who loves questions. As always, following our service today, we will have a time for breakout rooms, so I invite you after our service ends to feel free to stay and have that time together. And then we'll regather at 11 o'clock for Sunday school. Bob is gonna stay with us for Sunday school. So bring your questions for Bob. And I've been taking notes and have some questions that we might hear from one another as well. I'm wondering if we have any birthdays or anniversaries to celebrate together this week.
I had a birthday this past week, Leah Witzig.
Yeah, Leah, anybody else? Well, happy birthday, Leah. We celebrate that you are a vibrant part of our community. Yes. So we met Bob this morning. We heard from Ndunge that he has some visitors, Fifi and Gigi, and I think was Cindy also named. Are there other visitors for us to meet this morning? If so, please unmute and tell us your name and where you're from. All right, well, glad that we are all together. Well, as we move forward into this season of Advent, this first week being the candle of hope that we lit this morning, brothers and sisters, my friends, as we go forward into the world, I offer this benediction. May you go and be people of hope. Let hope live in your heart and share the hope of Christ with all you meet. Share hope by noticing someone else's humanity. Share hope by listening to someone's story. May you share hope by praying for our world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share hope. As you go out into the wonder of God's creation, share hope with all you meet this day. Amen. May you go in peace.